and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. This is a broadcast that is put on by our nonprofit, Sped Homeschool, and we are here to empower and encourage families who are homeschooling unique learners. And each month, we focus on a different topic. And so the topic for this month of June 2021 is character, the behavior, and a child training all kind of mixed together. And so last week we kicked that off, and we're going to keep on with that conversation this week. And so I'm excited to share our guest with you, LaFaya Mitchell. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I am extremely excited to be speaking with you today.
Yeah. And so we're going to be talking about cultivating relationships that improve child behavior. And we touched on that just a little bit last week. So I'm really ready to dive into that topic tonight. And if you are watching live, I see we already have a couple of viewers popping on. Just know that if you have any questions or comments about relationships with your children. I know I talk to some people as they're coming into the summer going, I don't know if we're going to survive the summer together. So we want to make that possible. And so if you have any struggles that you really want some feedback on, LaFaya has lots of wisdom. And so we want to be able to bring your questions into our conversation as well. So, and if you know of somebody else that has been saying, I'm not sure, share this video with them. We are broadcasting live right now on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Periscope. So wherever you're watching from, we will see your comments, we'll see your questions, and you can share those links. And so just know that you can do that. We'll be live for an hour. So definitely take advantage of that. That's why we broadcast live. If we were just pre-recorded, that wouldn't be something that you could do as easily. But I also want to thank Sunlight for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. To learn more about Sunlight, you can visit their website at sunlight.com. And we'll hear more from them about halfway through this conversation. So LaFaya, as we get started, I would love for our audience just to get to know a little bit about you. And, you know, why is this topic something you're passionate about? Because, you know, I always ask my guests when they come on, you know, we give them the general topics and say, well, pick from this. And then what should we talk about within that realm? And of course, relationships and child behavior was the things that popped out to you. So I would love for our audience to know where that comes from before we start sharing the how and the why.
Okay. The passion behind my work comes from being actually a hypersensitive kid myself. I come from, I'm made a little bit differently. And I don't function quite like, you know, everyone else does. I have lots of sensitivities. My daughter does as well. And what I found is oftentimes people will, not intentionally, okay, but they end up mistreating our differently made kids. And whether there's due to lack of understanding, which most of the time it is, or, you know, for whatever other reasons, or, you know, because, you know, oftentimes those who go misunderstood kind of tend to rub people the wrong way, or they're not able to express themselves in a way that is considered socially acceptable. Right. The kids often, and always, and I kind of, I think I just like puns, and I don't know what it, I just like to kind of make words up and stuff. But I say that people, they kind of miss, and I use the M-I-S-S in the quotes, you know, they kind of mistreat, you know, those who are hypersensitive out there. And the passion behind my work, I want to make sure that we're filling in that gap for those kids who maybe they don't quite meet certain diagnoses that would cause people to treat them a little bit more fairly. But we know that they're a little different or a lot different. And I want to make a difference and an impact on how they're being treated.
I'm sure you get that same thing as I do when I tell, you know, audiences or friends, you know, that I'm on the spectrum and, you know, or just that hypersensitive, but you look normal. So, you know, how do you respond to that? And I just love to know that.
Well, I think that most of the time I'm pretty open because I'm kind of, well, I don't know if anybody notices at all, or, you know, over the camera or whatever, but I'm kind of weird. So, you know, when you, especially when you're with me in person, like I'm excessively fidgety. But you guys would see me in my chair and you'd be like, what is this girl doing? You know, and I really like, you know, and seriously, okay, guys, I'm a therapist and I will be in the office and forget that I have to like do these like socially normal things. So I'll like do things like sit on my foot. So you know how, you know, people
do that too. Yes, I know.
And when the clients first, well, luckily, you know, I'm well known now, but when the clients first meet me, they kind of look like, okay, then try to ignore it. And I have the most difficult time with eye contact. The way that I explain it to people is it kind of burns. And, uh-huh. And so I don't know how to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it a little weird to be like a therapist. So the way that I tackle it is just to be really upfront with people. Yeah. And tell them before we even get started, you know, I already know I'm a little bit different. So if anything I do makes you feel uncomfortable, just know you're going to get a little bit more of that until you get used to it. by the time they get to me, it's pretty much like I'm already coming highly recommended because, you know, I work with the kids who are considered the most difficult, my favorites, by the way. I work with the kids who are considered the most difficult, and I actually get good results. So you know, by the time they get to me, they're like, oh, I've heard so much about you. And I'm like, okay, did you hear I was weird?
Yeah. Weird is not always a bad thing. So, but I love that you use your words to explain that. And I think, you know, our kids definitely don't have those words yet.
Right. And that's so, why actually one thing that I teach too, because that's actually where some of the awkwardness comes from. Like parents, they'll get upset with their kids for maybe not wanting to interact. So when you're home alone, it's a much different experience, right? You're comfortable with people that know you already, but then they'll get around other people and they'll just kind of clam up, you know, and not want to say anything or hide behind your leg or, you know, things like that. And then the parents are like, what's wrong with you? You know, you know how to talk and you know how, you know, and they take it on as for being embarrassed as opposed to understanding that if they teach the kids, hey, you know, it's okay for you to tell other people to say out loud, hey, you know, sometimes I get a little bit uncomfortable, you know, around crowds or whatever. Right. And so if I excuse myself, just forgive me. When you teach them and you empower them with the words to use, then they can open up a little bit more to people because they won't feel like they, you know, people are going to think they're so strange when they do things that are different.
Yeah. Well, you're living out the example for them to have that self-advocacy as a normal part of a conversation versus, well, I'm different, so therefore I have to advocate for myself. I think we all, you know, whether we consider ourselves, and I know we were talking about this before we got on live too, was that we all have some sort of quirkiness. And you know, I love that you're open about that. And I think we all should be, instead of saying, I'm going to try to fit this mold and be this person that everybody wants me to be. And that's where the real struggle comes in, isn't it?
Yeah, because especially for those who are really wired differently, they literally can't, you know, so it's an impossible task. And that, you know, and then there are these expectations they expect from themselves and from others. And sorry about that.
Okay.
And so, and my phone just decided, my Google Talk just decided to, you know, but anyway, but you know, then, you know, so then they start to kind of almost down themselves because they're like, well, you know, why can't I, you know, do things like other people? And the parents are accidentally giving the same messages. Well, why can't you just do this? Or you can do this when, you know, when there's no one else around, you know, and things like that, we have to start working on changing that messaging so that we can say, okay, instead of why won't you or why can't you, let's get to how can you? Okay, what works for you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. And just those different accommodations. I mean, I think when we think of accommodations, we think of school-related things, But so often with these hypersensitive people, kids, us, them, we need those accommodations. And it may be a fidget. I know I bought this beautiful fidget necklace for my daughter, and nobody knows that it's a fidget toy, but she rolls it in her fingers and wears it as a necklace. And but it's something she needs when she's out in public just to de-stress. So I think staying calm is something that's really important, isn't it? For our kids and for us. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah. Okay. So just, I want to piggyback just a tiny bit for just a minute, millisecond on that fidget necklace. Guys, mm-hmm. I hope you heard this. This is a great idea that Peggy just gave to you. The fidget necklace, there are fidget rings. I have one. Mm-hmm. I wear it on my thumb. We're on both thumbs. I'm very fidgety, and I'll just spin and spin and spin. I actually forgot to put it on before we started this, because I get nervous, and so now I'm just kind of grabbing the sides.
Right, you won't see anything below the camera, so you're good.
But I don't, thank goodness. So, but anyway, yes, it okay. So I want to give a little, kind of just a little bit of background on the importance of finding your calm, because this is something that parents need to hear. Children need to. Everybody needs to hear this, okay? Mm-hmm. There is this phenomenon that over the many years that I've been doing this counseling therapy, all of that, mm-hmm. I started to call it emotion soaking, okay? Mm-hmm. And emotion soaking is the unintentional sponging of the feeling energies of others around you, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you guys bear with me, because I know full well that people are like, well, that's what an empath does, right? But now we're moving out of the realm of the empath. So the empaths, yes, they are strong emotion soakers, but there is a spectrum where the responses are different to this dynamic. So for those who are on the spectrum, or those who are highly sensitive to the feeling energies of others, they may take a whole different kind of approach. So they won't appear empathic at all. They won't appear as if they care about other people's feelings. But they are for sure taking in all of that feeling energy and being overwhelmed by that. And so when you take into consideration the phenomenon of emotion soaking, and you understand that all hypersensitive people that are extra sensitive to the sensory stimuli around them, including that sixth element emotion soaking piece, where you're into feeling energies, not just, you know, touch, taste, you know, feel, all that. Exactly. I mean, touch, taste, doesn't feel, you know, sight, all that. But you're going beyond that into that unseen realm of what other people are feeling and how you're taking on that. This is one of the reasons why hypersensitive people tend towards liking animals more than people, because animals actually make more sense. You know, they're actually...
They have those instincts, those natural,
they're responses. Not overly emotional like most human beings. So, you know, they're not personalizing everything like human beings do, you know, that kind of thing. So when you take into consideration the dynamic of the phenomenon of emotion soaking, then when we start to speak to keeping your calm or finding your calm when you're engaging with a hypersensitive person, okay, including yourself, by the way, if you're a hypersensitive person, it's very important for you to learn how to find your calm as well, and see the reasoning behind it being that I don't want to feed more negative energy into the situation.
Right. Exactly. Okay?
I want to shrink it. If I'm imagining it like a big ball of negative energy, I want that ball to shrink down as opposed to having it grow and grow and grow between both parties or all parties involved.
Right. Yes.
So, find your calm, extremely important. And, you know, I just want to share with you guys, like, I have what I call like this 4-step strategy. Okay. I say 4-step strategy to happiness and happy relating with other people, especially hypersensitive people. If you follow these 4 steps, then you will effectively create a situation. And I always tell people, kind of think of it like a cake. All these 4 steps are like the 4 key ingredients to creating your wonderful cake. If you use them together, then you will come out with a beautiful and a lovely tasting cake. And if you do not use these things together, then you're missing an ingredient here or there, then you will end up with a flat cake you know, maybe that's not very tasty.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Find your calm is step one in the four-step approach.
Yeah. So do you have any tips or just advice for parents who really have a hard time finding their own calm or calming their child down or both?
Yes. Okay. So finding your calm. Now, this actually kind of segues a little bit into the second step, which is understanding the real truth. Mm-hmm. Understanding the real, and I've always put the real in quotes and caps, and I can warn people, the real truth is so pivotally important in all your understanding and all you're getting right in an understanding. Yeah. So when you're learning to understand the real truth, then you're not dealing with things that are based in the lie or in untruths.
Oh, yeah.
So as a parent, for example, if your child is acting out, sometimes as a parent, you may think, oh my goodness, they're so disrespectful. Or they don't appreciate anything I do for them, or I do all these things for them and they don't care. They don't do anything, you know? So we go into these areas that are not based in truth. Now, truth is most human beings, no, not most, all human beings desire from birth to connect with other people.
Exactly. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if someone, especially your own child, is doing something to cause a disconnect, is doing something to cause upset or frustration in their environment that people want peace in their environments. Mm-hmm. You know, you will rarely run into an individual that's saying, you ask them, okay, what would you like in your life? What would you like in your home? And you rarely run into the individual that says, oh, I love chaos. And
I don't think I've ever heard that one before.
Right? Usually they say, I just want peace and, you know, I don't want to fight, you know, all these things.
Oh, yes, and over and over again.
And even if someone did say that, they're working against themselves. They're not telling the truth because then they're crying the next day because they don't have those things, right?
Right.
What you do is you start to work on, okay, what is the real truth in this situation? Okay, well, okay, this kid is having a hard time for some reason. What could it possibly be? Some of my favorites to give parents so that they have something to hold on to is I have an acronym that I use now that, you know, that I won't get into that one because it's a little bit more complex, but I want to get into the easier one that you can more easily find right online. So you can look it up later when we're not on this, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We have the HALT that comes from the 12-step programs. It's a self-check-in, but it's also a check-in that I found is important for use for others as well. So and HALT stands for hungry, angry, lonely, tired. If you feel yourself extra upset, am I hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? If your child is acting out and it doesn't seem to make sense, are they hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? Did they get enough rest last night? Okay. Right. Did they have their snack or lunch or breakfast? Mm-hmm. Right. Lonely for kids, oftentimes it kind of equates to bored. So if you hear them saying they're bored, you'll find they're a little extra irritable as well. Or did something happen at school or at work that made them angry? Right. Mm-hmm. Was there something that kind of they carried along with them?
Yeah.
If you have a kid with sensory issues, if they're extremely sensitive, something that I love to point out to parents is that if they're extremely sensitive and maybe they're sensitive to say like sounds or taste, any of those sensory, strong sensory reactions, sometimes our kids will become disrupted. We will become disrupted by having a violation happen of that in the sensory form. So a loud sound, they jump, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe when they're younger, they may have a crying fit, right? Mm-hmm. Because of this startle. But as they get older, they've been taught not to have that kind of response. You know, you're not a big baby, you know, you can not, right? But this may actually startle them. They may hold that. This will insert that negative energy ball I like to talk about, negative energy into them. They will have no idea where all of the upset is coming from later on as they're acting out. And it could have been something that happened earlier in the day to trigger them in that way.
Right. Yeah. I find myself doing the same thing. You know, I was bombarded with a bunch of negatives today and I found myself just going back to my Bible study from this morning where God was saying, do you know what I call you? And it's not what you're cycling in your head and calling yourself right now, you know, and that's how I found my calm today was just that reminder of what God spoke to me this morning. You are loved. You are cared for. You are redeemed. You are mine. But we can get so caught up in all those things and stuffing those emotions. And
yes. Yeah, oh no. Now I hope you guys were listening to this too. Now the keys, she's giving us keys and defining your calm. Okay. So if you've done your Bible study in the morning, which should be your meditation time in the morning, then think back on those things. Remember, you want to think on those things that are good, those things that are virtuous, those things that are of good report.
Right.
Now this is a powerful step that really helps you to find your calm, really gives you what you need.
Yeah. And so good to share with our kids too. I miss those days when my kids were little and we did Bible studies together. So yes.
Now you have to sneak them in now.
Yes, exactly. It's in conversation as they're passing through the kitchen and getting their coffee in the morning.
Another way to find your calm is to do body check-ins.
Oh.
You want to check in with, and we call it, check in with your body cues. Because see, even though sometimes, people can say to change your thoughts and, and all that, but that is just, I'm sorry. That's just not a very easy thing to do.
No.
I like to give people things that are tangible that they can really grab a hold of right away. And right away, we can tune into our bodies and pay attention to what happens in my body when I become upset. So most of the time you can ask people this and they may have some of the answers for you. They may tell you, okay, my muscles get tense, right? And they may tell you that, that people start to shallow breathe. The more upset they are, more shallow they breathe, right? And one of those ones that people, forget a lot, but our heart starts to pound. Why? Because it's something that's normally happening to us, happening in our bodies that we're not tuning into. But if someone says it to you, then you're like, that does happen when I get upset. That's the first thing. The heart starts to pound. And our skin runs a little warm, gets a little warm, And so the important piece is, you tune into these things, find out what does happen in my body when I become upset, because now you can start looking at those things and you can directly work against those things. Okay. And why do you want to work directly against those things? Because when your muscles are tense, when you're shallow breathing, when your heart is pounding, then guess what's happening? Your mind, the message to your brain is saying, alert, alert, danger.
Yes.
And you're going to either enter into, and this causes you to enter more quickly and more, drastically into, dramatically into fight or flight. And and it's really difficult when you're having these fight or flight messages sent all up to the brain to calm down. So if you start to counter those things by saying, okay, wait, check in. Okay, take a deep breath. This is why they tell you to take a deep breath, by the way. I used to hate when people told me that.
Oh, I know. Exactly. I know.
But now I understand that it's so that I can start to send a different message to the brain. Now that I understand that, it's a far more effective, because I would try to take a deep breath, but my muscles are all still tense. So I'm like,
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't work out very well. But when you're working each of these and you're actually taking the breath in as if you are attempting to slow the heart rate like you would when you went for a run now. Okay. Yeah. So now you're taking a deep breath with the intention of slowing the heart rate. And you're getting that double, that double good of now you're not shallow breathing when you're doing that as well. And then you're relaxing your muscles at the same time. You guys, it is extremely difficult, first before I tell you this, to try to deep breathe, relax your muscles, and stay really upset all at the same time.
So do you have any tips on how to get our kids to do that without them being offensive and saying, like you said, I used to hate it when people tell me that. And when my husband even tells me that, just take a deep breath, I'm like,
That's how I used to respond. I'm like, what am I gonna do? Right. But no. Okay, so telling the kids, and this is because I've been telling them for years, I'm like, the first thing I tell them is, I know that you're gonna hate this, right? Because I used to hate it. But I'm telling you now, I hated it because nobody explained to me why I was taking a deep breath. And so I'm gonna explain to you the why, so that you can make a choice to change the way that you feel, because nobody likes to feel upset. right? And once you start to feel upset, if you feed feeling upset, you will become more upset. So you'll be, you will become more of the thing that you become upset about being, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to teach you how to become less of the thing. We want you to starve that particular piece because you don't want to feed upset. Mm-hmm. And so when you teach them that way, then they're like, okay, well, that makes sense, right? Yeah, when you just stop and take a breath, then people are like, you take a breath.
Yeah, exactly. So that those are some great ways to just, you know, find that calm. And because we can't have a relationship without being in that calm place, without our child being in that calm place. I think biblically it says, don't give pearls to pigs. And I used to use that to my kids all the time. You know, when we would get into these heated, they would be disobeying and I would, you know, not be in a good place. I'm like, until you can take pearls of wisdom and I can give them, we are not going to be near each other.
That's right.
And so finding that calm is so key. But then you go, you talked a little bit about, you know, finding their truth and what the real truth is. Can you talk a little bit about that from, you know, the child's perspective and how do we as parents kind of tune into that and figure that out?
So now I want to say there's two parts to this. There's understanding your truth and understanding their truth. And quite honestly, the more proficient you become at understanding your own real truth, the closer you'll become to automatically understanding theirs. So now what do I mean by this? I'll explain it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But the understanding the real truth means you're digging underneath what's really going on. Behaviors are always telling us something. Now, oftentimes we're taking the behaviors and we're taking the most shallow route with understanding. That is not a true understanding of the behavior. Okay. Mm-hmm. But when we start to take a deeper dive into what's really going on, then we find that there are, you know, it becomes dramatically different than what we thought it was for both ourselves, by the way, and them. So as a parent, if when you tell your child to do something, they don't do that thing and you highly personalize it as they don't respect you, there's something that's triggering that belief or that thought or that feeling in you that's based in not what's happening right there in the moment, but experiences of yours. Okay. So, and I'm only saying that because most of the time, if you're feeling like especially strong emotion, by the way, about it, then it's really triggering something. Have you in your life felt not listened to, not heard? Is that something that carries along with you from your childhood? Is that something that, you know, that you find in your marriage or on the job or something? Most of the time there's a reason for the strong emotion behind it. Because when you tell your children to do things like, say, clean their room, and they say, okay, and never get around to it, right? And you say, okay, never get around to it. But when you find yourself in that position, then the likelihood that they, A, forgot because it's not, you know, in their area of where what they're thinking about right now.
Right.
And, and if we're dealing with autism spectrum, they're on their own agenda. It's an actual symptom, you know.
Right. Or actually, I think that's an executive functioning too. They've just how do we even tackle this project?
Or, you know, or struggles with sequencing. Executive functioning issues and that kind of thing where you tell them clean your room and maybe they do something that they feel is their version. And you don't believe that that's what cleaning the room means, right? There could be a misunderstanding. And even if there is no misunderstanding, again, there's so many different elements to it. If they're differently made, then seriously, ooh, squirrel is a real thing. So for me personally, I can't say, tell someone important to me, oh yes, I'll meet with you on this day and remember that 1 second later, if something else shines over onto the right.
I know. I have to have my planner like right there because I have to write it down. And so, I had somebody send me a text and I remembered it yesterday. I remembered it this morning. And finally this afternoon, I got back to her and I'm like, I'm so sorry.
I'll tell people, if you don't see me pick up my phone and actually literally put it in there, it did not really happen. Now I'm just really in the habit of grabbing it right away. As soon as I say, you know what? I'm not trying to be rude, but I have to put this in right now because this will not stay.
So true. But again, you know, those are things we've learned over time, and our kids are still having to learn those.
These are the things that we teach them. So now when we're working on understanding the real truth, then we make an executive functioning issue what it is instead of something else. Mm-hmm. And see, when we make it something else, when we personalize the behavior of the other, right? Mm-hmm. We personalize it, then it takes it into a place where now they can't really logically understand where we're coming from. Mm-hmm. And it makes it far more difficult and far less likely that they will comply with what it is that we're asking. See, it has to fall into the realm of making sense. So first piece, so that's why I explain it the way that I do. You know, I'll get through it, guys, but find your commas first, because we don't want them attaching to the emotion inside of us, because that's the first thing they're going to do. That'll disrupt our influence. Okay.
Right.
And then understanding the real truth will help them to be able to connect and relate. So now we've taken and we've validated their experience, which opens up their hearing now. Now they can hear us. Exactly. We're on the same page that they are. Okay. So for example, I asked my daughter to put away the dishes. My daughter is a little bit, you know, she's just a little bit differently made, like her mom. Mm-hmm. But I asked her to put away the dishes, and she was watching an anime or something. Mm-hmm. And she said,
our daughters are very like,
she says, okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And cause I finally got her to respond, cause before it'd be nothing. Right.
Right. Exactly.
And again, she's like, I heard you. I'm like, well, when you hear me, then you have to acknowledge where I'm going to say it again, because I'm going to feel like you didn't hear me. I mean, I'm not going to be sure. Right. Mm-hmm. So I asked her, she forgot. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then I came back downstairs and I said, okay, baby, you forgot to put away the dishes. So, you know, I'm going to need you to put away the dishes. And I said, now, yeah, and the next time I go into the kitchen, it's going to mean that there's going to be one extra chore that you're going to pick up, because I had to put extra effort. Like, if I have to do extra effort, you have to do extra effort. Right.
Right.
And so we have that understanding. And then the third time that, you know, the third time that came down, she hadn't gotten it done. And I looked at her and I said, babe, I said, okay. So I said, I told her, you know, I understand that your anime is a distraction. I know that. Mm-hmm. I said, so I'm going to need you to pause it where it is, or, you know, or we're going to have to go ahead and have you put it away until after you finish with the dishes, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and this is the way we did. And because this is the third time, as I promised, you know, now I need you to mop the floor too, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, some parents would have been like, oh my goodness, like how many times do I have to tell you and personalize and all this? But what I ended up getting out of it as a parent is clean dishes, a clean floor, and a kid that understood that, oh shoot, okay, this was a distractor to me. Next time I'll put it away so that I don't get the extra chore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We called that honor. It's like, are you listening the first time? And you know, it takes something away from me when I have to ask again. And so my kids saw that as a tangible that they could grab onto. Oh, because mom has to spend extra effort getting me to do something. Now I have extra effort that I have to put forward into what she was going to do and spend that time doing. And it made the equation make more sense to my kids with,
that's so perfect. That's the key, is because we want to teach them real life lessons, because that's exactly what happens when someone has to ask you more than once, and it takes something away from them. It takes something away from your relationship with them as well. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, if there's something that's taken away, then we have to remember that we need to add something too, so that we can keep the balance. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it makes it so very important.
Yeah. So I don't want to stop this conversation, but we've hit over halftime, and I want to put up our sponsor. They have a little informational video to share with you. And when we come back, we're going to continue on this this conversation about finding the real truth for you and your kids, and more that LaFaya has to share. So hold on, and we will be right back after this announcement from Sunlight Curriculum.
It's Sunlight. We schedule every book. We provide math manipulatives, all the science supplies, all the art kits. We tie that all together. So when you get a Sunlight box, it's about 60 pounds. And you think, I can't do it. But every day you have a schedule and you work your way through it. And at the end of the year, you go, I cannot believe how much we've accomplished. It's amazing.
So thank you, Sunlight, for sponsoring, again, this episode of Empowering Conversations. And you can learn more about their literature-rich curriculum at sunlight.com. So we were talking about finding the real truth, and our topic tonight is about cultivating relationships that improve child behavior. And we've dove into finding your calm and talking about just that, finding the real truth from your own perspective as a parent, and then from the perspective of your child. And what I'm gaining from that is we have to find a middle ground where those truths meet, don't we? And, yes. And so that there is communication there. We've talked a lot about that real truth. Is there anything else that you have in addition to share about that?
Yes. Okay. So now I'd actually like to, because you did a perfect job of helping to segue into what I call step three, which is to respond in alignment with your truest intentions. Now, again, this also, like I said, the ingredients of a cake, they all weave together. So responding in alignment with your truest intentions requires that you learn what the real truth is. Mm. Okay. And the real truth, if we're thinking about our own core goals as parents, okay, most of the time what we want to provide to our children are, we want to provide to them a safe environment, an environment where they feel loved, where they are able to thrive. And you know what I mean? And really feel wonderful about themselves. Yeah. We never set out to have them have crushed self-esteem or be sad or feel like they're not accepted for who they are.
Right. Okay. Yes.
So when we learn how to respond in alignment with our choice intentions, we have to take what used to be our reactions to what our kids were doing or whatever, how we were feeling or whatever. And we have to start to ask ourselves this key question: is what I'm about to say or do in alignment with my core goals, with my foundational intention? If I say I want peace in my home, then what am I doing yelling and screaming and having, the same grown-up tantrum?
That's basically what it is.
and if I want my child to have high self-esteem, then I have to stay far, far away from doing things like comparing them to other people. Well, why do you do that? So-and-so doesn't do that. Your brother doesn't do that. Your younger sister does this better. Mm-hmm. We don't want to say things like that, because that is in direct, that works directly against our true goals for our children, which is to be safe, happy, healthy, right? Confident, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And so it's important to first ask that question. And there's another piece that I love to share with parents. If you can't think of what to say sometimes in upsetting situations, which, I'm human, so it's not like I'm just perfect or anything. It means that I'm working on this stuff. It's that I learned this over the years and I can continue to work on it. Right.
Yeah.
And so, but one of the things I love to empower parents with is what I call the power talk formula. Okay. The power talk formula helps you to respond in alignment with your truest intentions. The power talk formula is this: when you ... Now, we're going to put ... in parentheses, undesirable behavior, right? You participate in this undesirable behavior. It causes ... Okay. And in that parentheses, we put an undesirable response or something that you really don't want to have happen. So when you, It causes, now, and then we want to add in, and I know that's not your intention, right? Because we know they don't want the poor results.
Right.
So please, ... new desirable behavior for both of us, right? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. when you forget to do your chore when asked to, mm-hmm. right? It causes me to feel as if whatever entertainment, whatever thing you're entertaining yourself with is too much of a distraction for you to be able to remove yourself. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I start to think about removing the distraction.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And I know that's not your intention.
Mm-hmm.
So please, if you could give me a response the first time or respond, you know, more quickly or whatever your desirable response is, so that mm-hmm. I'm not feeling like I need to remove that for you to act.
Right.
Right. Then mm-hmm. it would be better for both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're taking the emotions out of it. You know,
yes.
And it's all about communicating the if this happens, this is what results, and you know, making it very clear cut. So
yes, yeah. I am so excited that you said that, because I always say that to people. I'm like, okay, this is what you need it to be a to feel like a reasonable person and to carry strong influence. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have to help set boundaries that scream, that speak out. Okay, when you do this. This is what happens.
Mm.
When you do this, this is the consequence. And it has to be clean and logical. Mm-hmm. They, you know, we've all heard about logical consequences all these years, right?
Right.
But it has to be fitting. And mm-hmm. when you start to talk about how they don't care about you or everything you've done for them or, you know, all these guilting things,
yeah. mm.
that has absolutely nothing to do with logic. That mm-hmm. is you. All wrapped up in your emotions, all wrapped up in personalizing something that you don't want to personalize, because right. personalization takes you out of the realm of influence now. You personalize it. So now it's become your problem as opposed to being a thing that stayed with them. Now it's their responsibility to keep a thing around that they want.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they don't want to lose that. And it wasn't their intentions usually in the first place, but they can't read how that's affecting other people. It's, you know, you have this tunnel vision when you're on the spectrum. And I had to explain that to my husband, because he always wants to go for a walk at awkward times, you know, just take the dog out for a walk. And I'm like a freight train when I'm working on something. All I see is what's in front of me. And I said, honey, it's not that I don't love you. And it's not that I don't want to take the dog for a walk. But when you ask me to go for a walk at a time when I'm fully absorbed, I can't switch gears right away. And I need you to just give me some leeway and in that and say, when might you be free? Or when can we work in this walk instead of, can you go for a walk right now?
Right. Now, I just want to make, because you know I love the tiny adjustments. One tiny little adjustment. Mm. When you give them the it causes, make sure that it's directly related to something that's going to impact them. That's the most powerful. So
yeah.
when you ask me to go for a walk when I'm in the middle of working, babe, it sets you up to feel like I'm ignoring you. And that's the last thing I want you feeling. And I know that's not your intention. So please ask me in a different way so that I'm not hurting your feelings.
Right. Yeah. That's great.
Right.
Love that. Yep. He got it. He goes, oh, I finally understand this now. I mean, you just feel like I want to, but you know, this struggle inside me that, you know, and I know what my kids deal with when they're, you know, hyper-focusing on something, and it's so hard to switch tracks. And so,
now, especially for our kids on the spectrum, you especially want to be careful to make sure you mention how it impacts them, because a lot of people call it selfishness. I don't call it selfishness or self-centeredness or whatever weird thing people say. We're right. all in our own skin and our own minds.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just made socially to be able to move outside of that, and others are not made the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a hard time calling it selfish, or all they care about is themselves, or, you know, and mm-hmm. on their own agenda becomes, it was difficult for me before until I got over it. I was like, you know what? Being on your own agenda, because it's yours, it's you, mm-hmm. is not a horrible thing. So, you know, people need stuff, right? And so, but when they're in these places and spaces, then it's important that they understand it, because they don't, you know, most of the time they actually don't have the same amount of mirror neurons as others. That's been proven. So oftentimes they won't be able to connect to your experience as well as they connect to their own experience. So you want to share with them how it's going to impact them, because sometimes when you say how it's going to impact you, they won't even be able to connect.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have to hinge it on something that they've already experienced or that is in within their realm. That makes a lot of sense. So yeah, great. So, you know, what about moving our discussion towards, you know, just hope? With, you know, I'm sure a lot of families are going, this all sounds great, but this is where we are at right now. How are we going to get there? You know, talk to us a little bit about that vision and creating that vision for hope and moving towards that.
You know what, Peggy, you're causing me to love on you more and more, because I'm serious now. I've never had anybody take my concepts the way that you have and present it to me in a way, in the way that I love to. You're already there. I'm like, you're already answering the question. No, but anyway, okay.
You're making me cry. Okay.
Oh, no, I love you because you're so, anyway, I'll do this afterwards. Okay. So this actually causes us to enter into the fourth step, Peggy. And this is where I call my fourth step, which probably irritates some people, but I don't care. My three R's. Okay. The three R's is what establishes that longevity, first of all, in the results that you're getting, but it also gives you that hope. It injects the hope that you need to carry on and keep carrying on another day in the relationship. Now, the first R is to recognize the small step differences as you relate in a different way now. Now you're following the F, U, the R. Now you're getting into recognition. And the reason I say, and I have to super emphasize recognize, because most of the time we tend towards recognizing those things that aren't going well quickly.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't pick up on the things that are going better when they come in small measure. But that's how better comes. Better comes in steps. Better, the real better, the true better comes in increments. It doesn't come this big, massive, okay, we're from 0 to 100, perfect now. You know?
Yeah, no. Right?
Comes in small steps. And so if you learn to tune into those small step improvements, recognizing those and picking up on those, and then second are highly reinforcing those small steps in both. And see, now some parents, they'll learn the fine art of reinforcing the things, that the little changes they see happening in their children, but oftentimes they won't reinforce those small changes that they see in themselves. So they won't feel really themselves up. So now as a parent, instead of guilting your child, you've now moved into a space where you're saying things very differently and you're responding in alignment with your truest intentions. It is so important, whether you get a great reaction from that kid or not, for you to recognize, whoa, I just did that. Yeah. Instead of being reactive and acting totally against myself, I actually responded in a way that's truly in alignment with what I mean to represent, what I mean to teach my child, which, by the way, helps us to stay calmer, because now we're not outside of ourselves. Most of the time, you know, I was beside myself, right? Because sometimes we're so far outside of where we truly mean to be. And this is what causes more upset. So you've ever heard a person say, I mean, and if you would just do what you're supposed to, then I wouldn't be. But now it's not about it. It's about now. Oh my goodness. I did that. I am so proud of myself for that. And then pay attention, because as you're reinforcing what's going on with you, which continues to give you a little bit more brightness, a little more hope, I can do this differently. Mm-hmm. This is going to promote change, right? Pay attention to what your kid does now that they don't have that negative emotion to feed off of and grow the big ball. Now, all of a sudden, you have a kid that had meltdowns for hours on end, now only having that meltdown for maybe 10 minutes, 15, 30 minutes, because it's an old habit. And then you can call that thing a remnant. So you can say, okay, you know what? That behavior has already been demolished. It's just still trying to sprinkle a little, you know, because there's still some little sprinklings of
residue left. Yes.
And so, because when you start to think in this way, then it's like, because I think sometimes people just, they say these like huge overarching comments, like, I just wish they would stop tantruming, or I just wish they would stop this or stop that, right? And then the only, most of the time, they really, unless they're called on to do it, they really only recognize when that behavior is completely gone, as opposed to being able to hold on to, oh my goodness, before you would cry for like 30 minutes, and this time you only cry for like 10 minutes. Babe, what are you doing differently that's helping you so that you're able to regulate so much faster, right?
Pointing that out.
This helps you as a parent, first of all, to see, oh my goodness, things are getting better. So you're not feeling overwhelmed about something that is changing, right? And it helps the child to see it's being recognized that they're working on something and that they're trying, because oftentimes they become hopeless as well because they're trying and nobody's noticing, because they still get the same kind of complaints, even if they went from that 30 minutes to the bottom.
Better, right? That's so good. Yes.
So recognize, highly reinforce, and repeat is my third R. It's like my rinse and repeat. It's that you constantly stirring up the four steps until you get that perfect batter.
I call it sometimes my forgiveness cycle that I said when I, you know, I became a new Christian, I didn't recognize the sin in my life. And so I would fall way off, you know, and have to come back and ask God for forgiveness. But I said, as I got better at recognizing my sinful tendencies, I would come back and ask forgiveness quicker. And it's that same cycle. It's that, you know, you can't pull right into the middle right away. It takes so long to just get those new patterns, and it is a slow cyclical process. And but getting out of our heads, because we have that vision of this is what my child's like, and then we project it into when they're going to be 20 and say, this is what's going to happen, this is what their life is going to look like. And yet stepping back and seeing those little hope nuggets is what really is so important. And I love that you talk about that, and then just being aware of it, because we can get so stuck on, well, you're not perfect, and so therefore it's not fixed.
It's not right at all. Yes. Yeah. And that is what truly fuels hopelessness. When you want perfection, people don't even realize this is what they're doing.
Yes, exactly.
But when you're thinking this thing that exists has to completely be eliminated for, you know, in order for it to be okay, then you're already setting yourself up to stay in a hopeless state, because it's going to take steps to get there. And if you don't recognize those steps to get there, you will effectively move those, what used to be a step, now you'll move that out of the way and be keep starting all over again, because there's no recognition of the step being there. So a step can't be a step unless you recognize it as that, you don't remove it.
We're trying to take giant leaps when we should be taking tiny baby steps.
Yes.
So true. Well, as we're wrapping up our time, I would love for you to talk about your books and about your website before we go. And I know on our YouTube channel, also in the description, I'm going to be adding more links after the broadcast too, so that you can connect with all of LaFaya's resources. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what else you offer, so parents can dive into that if they feel like this hour was just the beginning, and I want more.
Okay, so yes, I'm going to tell you now that three books, I am not the type of person that wants to be seen or heard or have things out there in my, you know, that's representative of me writing. There's too much shyness and too much fear that I've had in my life. Now I'm getting better. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my practice scriptures is that no man lights a candle and sticks it on, you know, and puts it in a bushel, underneath a bushel, underneath a bed, whatever. No man does that, but they put it up on a candlestick. I have been moved in such a way where this is something that is like my life work. Mm-hmm. This is my purpose. I was not allowed not to share this, no matter how shy and terrified I was not allowed not to share it. And when I had the very last family that came to me and said, hey, you know what? I've had my daughter in treatment for over 10 years and she's never been helped. You have to share this information with other people. Mm-hmm. That was the last time I was going to hear that. Yeah. And once I went and I pursued it, and plus, and God kind of pinned me down to some kind of hard.
He does that.
Once I was obedient to the call to write the books, I wrote this encyclopedia looking thing. And it was a 60,000 word document. And I was like, and it was just like downloads over and over all day, all night. It took about 2 weeks to get everything up and out of me. And then I had wonderful introductions to people that helped me put together. And one woman, okay, now tell me this is not God. One woman came into my life who calls herself the book creator. And she said she raised two boys on the spectrum. She took one look at my material and she said, if I had this when my boys were younger, I would still be married today. And she said, we are not going to take this very important information and give it all to overwhelm parents at the same time. We're going to break this up into many books. She said, I see 7 books in here, and we've produced 3 of them so far. And there are still 4 more waiting and, you know, in there. Uh-huh. And so, but those books, that is the reason that we ended up with the LaFaya Way, is because this is my life that I'm pouring into the books, and I'm sharing with you how my life has changed, how my daughter, who's very sensitive as I am, she came up very differently than I did, to where her reaching her stronger potential, some of her higher potential, is a lot faster for her than it was for me. And she's growing up confidently, quirky, different, weird.
Yeah.
And really so, cool. But I'm sharing all of this with you because that's my love work. And that's my give before I leave this place, this space we call Earth.
Oh, that's awesome. So if you're listening on the podcast, the website is LaFayaWay, LaFayaWay.com. So definitely. And then you have a coaching program.
I have so many things now. Oh my goodness. Okay, guys. So I've actually been working on developing a curriculum, which is a huge deal to me.
Awesome.
No idea how that came about. I'm like, okay, God, right. And so, but I have a parenting program. I call it Parents Empowering Parents. So I'm all about parent empowerment, and I'm all about parents understanding that they're the experts, that when we're seeing things that need to be adjusted, they are small adjustments. No parents are missing it. They're not missing it by a mile. And the stuff that I teach is going to hit you like home, hit you like, this is the way it was always supposed to be. And there was just something a little bit that I was missing. And what I say is the LaFaya Way, it lights the pathway to your getting to your true self and helping your children get to their own true selves. Yeah. And so the PEP program is awesome. You can find it on LaFayaWay.com underneath services. I also have a Let's Get Social. Now I have it's a social enhancement group for our higher functioning kids who they have some social functioning, but they need help in those little areas, like they hate making phone calls or have trouble interviewing or you know, have different fears. We're working on that kind of stuff. But I have so many goodies for you guys. I have a Q&A the LaFaya Way that I run. This is my gift. This is my free of charge gift once a month. Q&A LaFaya Way. Come in, ask me your tough parenting questions. I love to answer them. So please come ask. And then I also have my YouTube channel. Lots of education there. Have people binge watching it now. You're sending me messages and, you know, all that. So just watch those. I'm a little goofy, but I give good information.
That makes it more fun. So yes. Well, awesome. And yes, I highly encourage you to check out LaFaye's website and all of her resources. And I just want to thank you for all that you shared with us tonight. It really resonated with me, and it is very important information for parents to have who are raising children that, you know, typical parenting strategies don't work. And, you know, really, these strategies work for typical kids too. So whether or not, so that's important. So, but as we wrap up, I want to thank Sunlight for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. Again, you can check out their website at sunlight.com. And also know that we are a nonprofit, a 501c3. So if you donate to SPED Homeschool, you can do that on our website. It is tax deductible. And that supports our broadcasts. It supports our ministry outreach. I'm adding new team members. I added two just this week. There is so much work, and I can't do it all myself. And so, so I'm having to pay people, but that needs to be supported. So we would love for you to become one of our donor partners. So you can check that out on our website, but, we just offered a pre-release of our Homeschooling Your Struggling Learner Through High School Masterclass. This has been 2 years we've been working on this course. It's 20 modules. The downloads are almost an encyclopedia in themselves. So it's about, I think it's over 200 pages, and it's all like free links and things that will get you from starting high school to finishing high school with a struggling learner and homeschooling. So, so I'm so excited. You can check out that on our secondary website, which is empoweredhomeschool.org. And so, and also we have some webinars on there and other things. And over time, our partners are also going to start adding courses. So LaFaye, if you want to offer your course on there as well, since you're one of our partners, we can do that. We can actually upload it on our site too, so that parents can find it quicker. So anyways, that's coming up. We have a bunch of reviews. If you've been watching our YouTube channel, we're premiering reviews or unboxings of curriculum every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday this week and next week. And I think in a couple more weeks to come too. So lots of ways for you to see curriculum. If you haven't been able to make it to a homeschool conference and are like, what is in this box? What do I get with that? Our team is excited to share that with you. So, but if you are going to conferences, I will be in Iowa in a couple weeks, and then I'm going to be in Arizona in July. So if you're going to either of those conferences, stop by my booth and the SPED Homeschool booth and say hi. Joins one of my sessions. I think I'm giving 5 or 6 talks at both of those conferences. So something to listen to at least. And anyways, and also 2 online conferences. I just spoke on the online conference for Oregon, and Sunlight, who is sponsoring this, is doing a free virtual conference. And I just recorded a session for them about different ways to work on transitioning skills, so life skills, therapy skills for your junior high school student, and how to incorporate that in your regular homeschooling day and even assess them as to what you might need to work on. So that's a lot, but as LaFaye and I end this, I think the thing that I just really want to resonate with you, and as you know, the final topic we talked about was hope. And that's something that SPED Homeschool is based on. We were formed by, we want to comfort you with the same comfort that God has comforted all of us in our journeys in homeschooling, our struggling learners. He is there for you, and he provides, whether we think we can do it or not, in our weakness, he is strong. And so be encouraged. You can do this, and we are here for you. So thanks for joining me and LaFaya on Empowering Homeschool Conversations. And we'll see you next week at this same time. We're going to talk about evaluating and understanding your child's abilities, which we talked a little bit about tonight, but let's really dive into that next week with our guests, Matt and Carol Newell from the Family Hope Center. So we'll see you then. Thanks all for joining us, and have a great night. And we'll see you next week right here on Empowering Homeschool Conversations. Bye, everyone.